Big game at the box. LSU needs to find a way to get W's in as many opportunities as they have left. Is a national seed still in play? The Golden State Warriors prove that they are not the prohibitive favorite in the NBA anymore. Plus, the Tigers coaches caravan traveling around the state. A whole different vibe this year. What a difference a year makes. Today, Tuesday, May 7th, 2019.
Giannis spinning in to the basket, slam it! Wow, what a quick spin move by Giannis, and the Bucks lead by 12 again. 32 for Giannis.
Durant catches up top, deep three straight on, it's up, it's no good, tipped out by Draymond, over to Curry, pump fake, takes a three, no good, rebound Paul, he is fouled with 2.9 to go.
Seven driven in, and this one's driven deep to left center field. Gordon is going back, looking up. See you later! Off the community leader's signs. A leadoff homer for George Springer, and it's 1-0 Astros.
Welcome! Astros now 21-14 in the AL West, three games up over the Seattle Mariners in Major League Baseball. We had some good NBA action last night as the Milwaukee Bucks gained a 3-1 advantage over the floundering Boston Celtics. There's an amiss there, I'm telling you, and we'll talk about that, but the Celtics are not as good with Kyrie Irving on the floor. They are. He is to the Boston Celtics, in my opinion, what Boogie Cousins was to the New Orleans Pelicans. When he got hurt, Pelicans got better. Kyrie Irving's slowing that team down. They're not the same type of team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. Bucks lead it 3-1, and the Rockets over the Warriors, 112-108. That series tied at 2 games apiece. Good afternoon. A busy Tuesday in store for you and yours, and we're so thrilled that you've joined us for the next, hopefully, 2 hours. We're here each and every day on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, 2 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time every day, Monday through Friday, with my main man. He is the stick that stirs the drink, Clint Domain, CD. He's in charge. He's running the show right there in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB and 103.7 The Game. Yours truly, just trying to guide you and navigate you through the next 2 hours, each and every day. Jordy Helpert here. Great to be with you. Thanks so much for making us a part of your afternoon. We've got baseball on the way, LSU hosting Louisiana Tech. 6:30, pregame show, 6 o'clock on your source for LSU sports. Right here, 103.7 The Game. Lane Burrow, the head coach of Louisiana Tech, will be joining us to talk about the Bulldogs. And all you have to do is just read between the lines of what Paul Maneri had to say about this game tonight. And I'm going to read it to you because it kind of sums it up. Paul Maneri, you don't hear this often during a midweek game, but Paul Maneri says, quote, "We've got a lot of work to do over these final 8 games of the regular season, beginning with a very good Louisiana Tech ball club. We're going to get our minds set and put a lot of emphasis on this game because it will have significant NCAA tournament bid implications. We're going to play as hard as we can and hopefully get a win." Yeah, LSU's 14-10 in the SEC. They're 3 games behind first place Arkansas in the SEC West, and their rankings as we speak right here, right now, number 15, number 16, number 17, number 18. They got to get some wins, and they're going to a very difficult place Thursday when they have to play Arkansas. So LSU will send to the mound tonight a freshman, right-hander, in Chase Costello. He is 0-0 on the season, a gaudy 10.80 ERA in 13 and a third innings pitched. He's walked 11, struck out 9. Palmieri grasping for anything and everything. Anything and everything he can get his hands on. Just trying to piecemeal something. It's just they have yet to put it all together. They have yet to have their full complement of players, and that's a problem. No question. But nobody's feeling sorry for them, and everybody's going to have to pick up their games and let's go. Tech comes in here. You talk about their field was destroyed, their offices destroyed by a tornado, and they've been the Marco Polo of college baseball. They don't have a home. They've been traveling everywhere. They're playing games at UL Monroe, home games. So they know what adversity is. So this will be an interesting matchup, to say the very least. So Lane Burrow will join us this afternoon at around 2:32 on the clock. In hour number two, the coaches' caravan of LSU had their first stop of the spring season in Shreveport last night. They will be in Monroe tonight. No stop at Acadiana this year. They'll be going to Houma, they'll be going to Houston, and they'll be going to New Orleans. Most of the coaches are out recruiting. What a class this group has had to this point in time. So we will get the former Karen Crowbear, the former LSU Tiger, the former three-time Super Bowl champion running back for the New England Patriots, now the director of player personnel for a player development for LSU football, Mr. Kevin Falk will join us and share his thoughts on the caravan, this new offense, and what kind of advice he gave Nick Brossette, who was picked up as an undrafted free agent by Bill Belichick and the Patriots. What kind of advice did he give him about what to expect in the, quote, Patriot way? Yes, so we'll have Kevin Falk. And then my buddy George Becknell will join us, and we'll talk all about the NBA playoffs. So when you think about it, who's the MVP of the playoffs so far? I think you could give an argument for each and every one of these people. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak of Milwaukee, he has been spectacular. What about Kawhi Leonard carrying the Toronto Raptors almost single-handedly, getting hardly anything from on a consistent basis from Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka, but unbelievable performances by Kawhi Leonard. And you've got James Harden. He only had 38 points last night. He's an unstoppable force. Unstoppable. And Kevin Durant, equally as unstoppable. Who's the MVP? Take your pick. And we'll discuss that and each of the four semifinal matchups in the NBA with George Becknell. We are brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. About 59 of them in southern, by last count, in southern and central Louisiana. It is a store within a store within a store. But it's not overbearing, but it is spectacular. What do you want? What do you need? They've got it. Freshest of foods, the latest of products, every drink you could ever imagine. They've got it all. The cleanest restrooms you'll ever see. My favorite is in Doosan. What a spectacular. I mean, it's worth the trip just to go see it. It really is. I always say it, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, then you can't shop right at all. You just can't. They've got everything. It's a spectacular place. ShopRite, Tobacco Plus, Discount Outlets. We'll take a time out. What a difference a year makes, and for LSU football, and a comment from new athletic director Scott Woodward about his basketball coach. Next on the Jordy Helpert Show.
Taking the hottest stuff graphics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
At 15 minutes after the hour, in this first hour of two, CD back running the show. Yours truly here, Studio 1A. We will talk with Louisiana Tech head baseball coach Lane Burrow. What a season they've had. Wait till you hear this story coming up at around 2:32 this afternoon. Meanwhile, yesterday was the first full day, official start, of the Scott Woodward reign as the director of athletics at LSU. And he made a statement. He's come out with messages about I believe, and he's doing all the right things. And he was asked to make a comment about basketball coach Will Wade, who, you know, is kind of under the microscope, no question about that. And Scott Woodward said that Will Wade continues to have his full support and backing despite Wade's name being mentioned April 29th in federal court concerning some alleged payments to former Tiger forward Naz Reid. Woodward qualified his statement on Wade, however, acknowledging that circumstances may change as far as support for Wade is concerned. Woodward said, quote, like I said in the presser when he was first announced, he made his first comments in front of LSU people and fans and administrators, that when I said at the presser, he is our coach and has our support and backing, and it will be that way until it is not. I hope he is our coach for a long time. But things change and minds change. We can go around and around for hours and hours, but right now, he is our basketball coach. Remember that quote. Remember the quote. I hope he is our coach for a long time, but things change and minds change. So very well said and very true. Very true. So we will see what happens in that situation. We just have to wait and see. Meanwhile, LSU's football coaches caravan hit Shreveport last night. And the events are all the same, but the questions are so different this offseason. This is a glad hand, shake hands, schmooze the crowd, praise and you know, talk about all the great things that are. And there are a lot of great things. And it's a lot different this year. Last year, remember, And Ed Orgeron did one of these in Acadiana a couple of years ago. And Ed went from location to location, city to city. And it was the same questions. Hey, oh, man, who's going to be your quarterback? Do we finally have a quarterback? Man, that's the toughest schedule. How are you going to get through that brutal schedule? Look who you play and where you play them. Oh, my gosh. And oh, you only been on the job for half a year and you're already on the hot seat list. What do you think about all that? And that's what it was prior to the 2018 season. That's from town to town, wherever you went. Who's your quarterback? Man, that's a brutal schedule. What's up with that? And Coach O, how many games are it going to take to get off the hot seat? How many wins you got to have to get? Well, a team that was projected to go 7-5 at best and finish near the bottom of the SEC West, won three more games. They were 10-3. They won the Fiesta Bowl convincingly, and they finished number 6 in the country. Now, it's all positive. It's all positive. And deservedly so. But what I love about Coach O, he says he has the same motto, block out the noise. It's a different kind of noise. Last year, the noise was all negative. This year, it's all positive. You can't get too down on yourself and listen to all the skeptics, and you can't get too full of yourself and listen to all the praise from the pundits. You got to stay level. And that's the one thing I really like about Coach O. Focus on what you can control. Well, let's be honest. The quarterback position is in good hands. For the first time in, it seems like forever and a day, I like Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be just fine. I really do. Is he a first-round draft pick in the NFL? No. But can he manage a game and put you in winning situations? I don't think there's any question he can. I don't think there's any question. I think he's going to get better. I really do. Until they show me differently, I'm on the upside there. You got most of their key contributors back. Yeah, you always lose some players. And Devin White, you can't replace Devin White and the production. But you got athletes on that side of the ball. LSU has a top five signing class coming in this summer with some kids that are going to play and play right away. It's going to be a preseason top 10 team, for whatever that's worth. But LSU fans are expecting more. They want a college football playoff appearance. And I've said it ad nauseum, and I'll say it again. The LSU Tigers are the antithesis of the New Orleans Saints. When the New Orleans Saints became successful, it's because their defense elevated their play to not have such a Grand Canyon gap between their production and what the offense provided. LSU's just the opposite. The defense is going to be there. You can book it. It's going to be, there's too much talent, too much speed, and too good of a coach coaching that side of the ball. They got talent. They do. For the first time, Joe Burrow is back at quarterback. His entire receiving core returns. He's got a new passing game coordinator in Joe Brady. Please, he brought the Saints playbook over. You know that's good. You know how they, look, I'm not about to compare Burrow to Breeze, okay? Let's just stop right there. Not going to. But the concept will work. The concept will work. Now, look, it's not perfect. Pass protection needs to get better. No question. Defensive line, got to get more production there. Your offense still isn't fully installed. It's not. You got to take baby steps. You're getting a new terminology, new system in. You got to take baby steps. Like, you got time. And you got a different looking linebacker core. But one thing that's out there is talent. Talent. Do you have the right leadership? Do you have the right mindset? Do you have the right work ethic? That will determine everything. One thing's for sure, the noise isn't going anywhere. This time, it's not noise of doom and, oh, gosh, do we have the right coach? And, oh, my gosh, Joe Burrow, Ohio State didn't want him. He left Ohio State, so is he really that good? Is he really going to help us? He's going to have to learn this all in fall camp. Oh, my gosh, doom and gloom. Look at the schedule we have to play. Oh, my God, it's going to be Georgia. Got to play Alabama. Oh, my gosh. Well, they did all right. Now the noise is of expectations. So what's more difficult? I think it's easier to block out the noise when everybody's down and out on you. It's easy to block that out. It's hard to block out the noise when they're talking good about you. And when you're walking around, pat on the back, man, you guys are going to be great. Oh, yeah, man, I can't wait. This is the year we beat Alabama. I know it. I feel it. I sense it. It's hard. Players read, they're into social media. They understand Twitter. They follow it. But man, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I really am. I think this is going to be a heck of a year. If they stay injury-free, I really believe this is going to be an exciting year. So, buckle up. The noise of expectations is loud, and the recruiting gets there. They had a top five class last year. They may have the number one class coming in this year. They've got a manageable schedule. Yeah, you got to play Alabama at Alabama. But in reality, I think it's better for LSU to get out of town. Get away from all the hullabaloo and all that stuff. They actually play better in Tuscaloosa. But is this the year? Time will tell. Time will tell. They got two first-round draft picks, according to many, many, many pundits out there, in Grant Delpit and Christian Fulton, maybe even Kalyvon Chaisson, if he returns to the form that everyone anticipates. They're loaded. They really are. But again, the biggest question marks are always the ones that end up haunting LSU, and that's at the two most important positions, offensive line, defensive line. Do they have enough depth? Do they have enough skilled players to go up against the schedule they have to go up against? That's the key. But it's a whole different, what a difference a year makes. Man, who's the quarterback? Look at that schedule. Are you kidding me? We'd be lucky to win six games. Coach O, you're going to be on the hot seat if you only win six. Now, let's go to the playoffs. We got the team to make the Final Four. It's amazing. Amazing. That's up to these players to do the work and the coaches to do the work. And as Ed O says, it's 24-7, 365. There are no days off. We will see. No days off for LSU baseball, and they got to win some games, and it's got to start tonight. Tigers have won 12 straight over Louisiana Tech. Can they make it 13? We'll talk to the head coach of the Bulldogs, Lane Burrow, when we return. This is the Jordy Hultberg Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Acadiana's number one sports station. We'll be right back.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. A very important midweek game tonight for the LSU Tigers as the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs come to town. Now the Bulldogs at 29-19 overall. First pitch is at 6:30. The pregame show right here on 103.7 The Game at 6. And then the ball game from Alec Box Stadium, Skip Bertman Field. Lane Burrow, the coach of the Bulldogs, kind enough to join us as they are en route to Baton Rouge. And we greatly appreciate the time. Lane, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Jordy, doing good, man. Appreciate you having us on, and we're on these back roads to Louisiana. I may lose you, but we'll figure it out. We'll work through it.
Yeah, we'll improvise. We have to go to the bullpen, but we'll figure it out.
That's right.
Talk to me about your ball club and where you stand, what your thoughts are about the club as they come in tonight's game.
Well, you know what? We had a rough couple of weeks, obviously, on the field. We went to a midweek game a couple weeks ago. We were rolling right along and ranked 18th in the country and lost a midweek game. And wake up the next morning, find out a tornado had ripped through town and tore up our stadium that we'll have to rebuild. And I know everybody's heard about that. And went to Rice, got swept, lost another midweek. And this thing is not going our way. But to tell you the truth, we went to Old Dominion this weekend and we lost two out of three. But we had to play a doubleheader on Saturday, and I was very proud and pleased with the way we played, even though we split. I thought it was the first time in about a week and a half span that we played pretty well in all phases of the game. We defended, we pitched, and swung the bats pretty good. So we were only able to get one of those games, but trying to take all the positives we can, and I was pleased with the way we played on Saturday.
How do you handle these unforeseen acts of nature that you have no control over, and yet you're still, you as the leader of the club, have to keep this group organized and together. And, I mean, that's not easy.
No, you're exactly right. And I think the theme and the message to the team from day one was we got to stick together. You know, when adversity hits, people like to run in different directions, and we can't do that. And we talk about being a family, and when adversity hits your family, people have to stick together and come together as a team. And, you know, it's it seems like nothing going our way with calls and on the field and obviously off the field. But, you know, you said it perfect. You control what you can, and that's one of those things you can't control.
Yeah.
One of the cornerstones of our program we talk about day one is adaptability, the ability to adapt to any situation. And, you know, right now we hadn't been back in our locker room, our offices. We're kind of nomads right now. We've taken up shop at and housed at Ruston High School. They've been nice enough to allow us to use their locker room, and their coaches allowed us to kind of share the offices with them. And that's kind of where we've been working out of. Our stadium's condemned, so you know it was crazy. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I left my radio show. I headed right back to my office. I got about a block away, and I said, "Man, I don't have one." So it's.
Yeah.
It's those things that, you know, and where we're going to wash our uniforms and all that, because you get you take things for granted, Jordy,
yes.
And, you know, going to the same place every day, and it may get redundant and boring, but, man, wish we had that right now. But you're right, as a leader of this team and the face of this team, we and our coaches, we have to keep it together. And these boys are learning a life lesson right now. You know, it's not going our way in a lot of different areas, but it's something that they can look forward as they get older and become husbands and fathers, and adversity will hit in their lives, and they can hopefully reach back and look back to this time in their lives and get something from it and be able to push forward and move through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Get through this. And, you know, man, that old rundown washing machine that you were like, man, it ain't so bad anymore, is it? You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. I was sitting, you know, how many times, man, I wish I had a new office or this or different. I'd give anything to be able to go get in that old desk and do my work. But, again, it's you got to adapt. And, you know, this coming up, well, obviously we have a big game tonight with LSU. And this weekend will be our last home series. And fortunate enough, ULM Monroe has offered up their field, and we'll play Western Kentucky over there. And, you know, that's what we spent yesterday, our staff, after practice. We went over there. You know, it's not turf, so and there's suspected rain. It's just simple things, little things.
Yeah.
We're going to have to re-educate our guys on pulling a tarp. We hadn't had to do that in a long time. And we're very fortunate that ULM has offered up their facility, and we're going to play over there this weekend.
I don't mean to laugh. It's just I understand. Learn how to roll the tarp out again. But I would imagine playing the games are a great escape from reality, and you do have a great opportunity tonight, and you're sending a senior left-hander. Tell me about Logan Robbins.
Well, Logan, I tell you, he's been a Saturday guy for 2 years, and coming into the year, we were going to put him in the midweek, probably spot layout. We're going to move to our weekend, and obviously he had the broken foot. He's slowly come back. He's kind of taken over that Saturday slot, pitched well for us, got a 10th win this past Saturday. And Logan started last week against Northwestern State up there, Natchitoches, pitched outstanding. He's commanded his fastball at a high level. And when he's commanded his fastball, and he'll run it anywhere in there, 87-90, with a good changeup, breaking ball. He's got good stuff. He's an older guy, and he comes from a baseball family, two brothers in professional baseball right now. And,
wow.
And he competes at a high level. So he's really where we thought he'd be when the season started, and probably pitched best game he's pitched all year against Northwestern last week. Unfortunately, we didn't get the win, but was very pleased with the way he threw the baseball last Tuesday.
Lane Burr, the head coach of Louisiana Tech Bulldogs, LSU, and Tech, 6:30 first pitch from Alec Box. I would imagine you feel pretty good when Mason Millard gets the bat in his hand and steps up in the box. He's been pretty good for you this year.
He has. He's having a great senior year and kind of figured some things out with the swing, slowed the game down a little bit. He's always been a fast twitch and a pressure defense type guy. He's a really good runner. He was probably more of a leadoff guy and probably struck out too much last year, but he's cut those down and hitting for more power, and we hit him in the three hole. And just, man, he's had a really, really good senior year for us. He's playing with a lot of confidence. he's a young man that can drive the ball out of the park, or he can get on base and pressure defense, and he does a lot of good things for us. And look, he's playing a new position. He's an outfielder by trade, and literally mm-hmm. the week before our first game this year, we moved to the first base. We were looking for somebody to fill the first base spot. He basically come up on a Tuesday practice and said, "Coach, I can play first." And lo and behold, he's went over there and he's been there all year. And, you know, for an outfielder to move over there, a guy that's really never played it, he's played pretty well for us. And so playing a new position, you know, a lot of pressure there. But to be able to offensively have the type of year he's having shows what kind of young man he is, what kind of character, and what kind of player he is.
Yeah, just get me a first base mitt and let me go hit 361 for you for the season. That's not bad. Also, when you get down late in the ball game, Braxton Smith, your closer, you feel comfortable with him, I would imagine, as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, we talked about this a lot this year. When chaos hits and the game starts spinning out of control, a lot of guys run away from it. Brax is one of those young men. He runs to it. And it's not fake. He wants the ball when it matters. And he's a guy that can get punch outs for you. And he's been really good in that closer spot for us this year. He saved some big games and got us out of some huge jams. And he was down during that stretch, ironically, when we were kind of struggling last week and a half. He hadn't been able to post it, the last few times out. He pitched really well this past weekend at ODU. And he's looked strong, so we went about a week and a half where we couldn't use him, but he's come back good. And yeah, he's one of those guys. He wants the baseball, man, when it matters, when the game's on the line, and he's been electric for us so far this season.
He's Lane Burrow, the head coach of the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. I'm just curious, when you scout LSU and you get all the facts and the figures in, what is the one thing that stands out in your mind when you hear LSU baseball this season?
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, it's just a veteran lineup, veteran club, and you know, you're playing down there. And you look at their home record, and they don't lose at home. I know they had a tough weekend this weekend, that crazy game on Sunday with Ole Miss, but, yeah. You know, they're just so hard to beat at home, and they got so many older guys out there with a good mixture of some young and just some scary hitters and some athletic guys. And anytime you go down there and play, obviously a lot of respect for their history and tradition, and just a tremendous program. And it seems like when they need to win and when they need to get it done, even if they're struggling on the field, it seems like that fan base picks them up and lifts those young men up and tells them, you know, you're going to get this win tonight. So a lot going against you when you go play down there. But so much respect. And again, they're always going to be right there at the top of the league when it matters. And just looking forward to going out and competing against a good ball club tonight.
So what do you tell when the kids look at you and say, "All right, coach, what do we got to do tonight? What's the game plan? What's the formula?" And you've played against good teams at their place before, and beaten teams at their place before.
Yeah,
what is the one common denominator with that?
Well, you got to dominate average plays. We talk about that in every game. We don't need the spectacular. We just need to dominate average plays. We need to throw strikes. And we need to execute offensively. We're not a team that, obviously, and our guys know that. We're not going to line up, go toe-to-toe with LSU and out-slug them or drive the ball out of the ballpark. But we got to move the ball around, move defenders around. And when we execute offensively, you know, whether it's bunting or hitting and running or stealing bases, and we're throwing strikes and we're dominating average plays, we generally put ourselves in a good position to win. So does everyone, I guess. But that's kind of our formula, be who we are. Don't lose our identity. Don't get caught up in where you are, who you're playing, and go out and do what we do, control what we can, and you'll give yourself a chance to win.
Man, can I come play for you? I can't play baseball a lick, but I'd like to play for you, man. I would.
I appreciate that. Absolutely.
When you say dominate average plays, that means layman's term, no errors, right?
That's right. You know, okay. And again, you know, it's great when you get the diving play in the outfield or go up over the wall and bring one back, or we get the Jeter play in the sixth hole. But at the end of the day, that's icing on the cake. We just need average plays to be dominated. We talk about that from day one in our program. And, you know, if you do that and play the Division I college baseball players should make 99% of the time and don't kick it around, take care of the baseball, you'll be in good shape.
Well, you'll get a new office, you'll get a new washing machine and a new dryer. I know it's a pain right now, but there's a silver lining for every dark cloud. Just remember that.
That's right. I agree with you, and that's kind of what we've been telling our guys. Maybe struggling right now, but some adversity, but brighter days are ahead, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, Lane, thank you so much. Have safe travels. And look, we got through the back roads.
We
dominated the average play. How about that?
Exactly, Jordy. Thanks for having me on, man.
Buddy. You take care. Lane Burrow, the head coach of the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs, again, LSU and La Tech, 6:30, Alec Box Stadium, Skip Bertman Field. And you'll hear every pitch, every play right here on 103.7 The Game. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up our number one next. This is the Jordy Helfberg Show, brought to you by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. Right there in Ambassador Caffrey Parkway, renovated, brand spanking new, bigger, better than ever. Same great food, same plethora of televisions to watch every and any sporting event that you could imagine and then some. Right there at Hooters on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. Again, Hooters just makes you happy. We'll be back on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
This is Natalia from the WWE, and you're listening to 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
MeTV is your TV home for memorable entertainment television.
All those in favor of me, say aye.
Aye.
From classic comedy.
The whole blooming Brady Bunch.
Happy days.
Cheers.
To retro sci-fi.
Lost in space.
Batman.
And groundbreaking dramas.
Harry Mason.
The Twilight Zone.
You'll love MeTV's variety.
Lucy.
KLWB Channel 50.1 MeTV Acadiana is now airing in high definition. A better picture for you to enjoy the greatest television programs of all time. Check your local listings for the HD channel in your area.
You have to be up in 5 hours. 2 hours. 6 minutes. And you haven't slept a wink. ZzzQuil Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin so you can fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. So tonight, try new ZzzQuil Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Vicks ZzzQuil.
Where we shop, where we eat, and have fun. All of it makes our community home. Let's celebrate it. Shop local. Shop certified South Louisiana.
At Auto Guarantee in Eunice, when you need transportation for work or school, we make it easy. Just use our online application at auto-guarantee.com. Price, selection, and friendly service. It's all at Auto Guarantee. Highway 91 in Eunice.
Atchafalaya Gold Casino is the talk of the town. If you're ready to win, our machines are ready to pay. We're always working to provide the best experience for all our customers. Will you be our next big winner? Atchafalaya Gold Casino, exit 115 in Henderson.
When you need an electrician, you want someone fair, dependable, on time, and thorough. And Mr. Electric is exactly who you're looking for. Our technicians deliver honest, upfront pricing, quality service, and one of the best warranties in the business. Call Mr. Electric or visit MrElectric.com/Lafayette.
Shop local. Shop certified South Louisiana.
Cajun Chef says, try our pickled okra and spicy pickled green beans seasoned with our special Cajun flavor. It's excellent for party hors d'oeuvres and that special Bloody Mary. It's also a great addition to a salad bar. For you pepper lovers, Cajun Chef, boy, we've got the right kind of jalapeno peppers with just the right amount of spiciness, excellent for nachos, and a way to spruce up your pizza. Why not try jalapenos and beans, salads, gumbos, and other Cajun dishes? Why not try Cajun Chef? When you do, you'll agree, Cajun Chef is not only deliciously different, it's decidedly better. Cajun Chef.
10-time CMA Award winner and 5-time Grammy Award winner Chris Stapleton is coming to the Cajun Dome August the 30th. Tickets go on sale this Friday, May the 10th, but you can get your tickets early with the Chris Stapleton Win 'em Before You Can Buy 'em contest. Just text the word Chris to 68683 for a chance to win a pair of tickets. 103.7 The Game, your home for Chris Stapleton Win 'em Before You Can Buy 'em tickets. Just text the word Chris to 68683.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
Welcome back. 50 minutes after the hour. NBA playoffs resumed tonight. Last night, the Milwaukee Bucks took care of business, 113-101. They have a 3-1 lead in their best-of-7 series over the Boston Celtics. Giannis, the Greek freak, in 34 minutes, had 39 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists. He's been unbelievable. He was asked after the game, okay, Greek freak, how in the heck would you defend yourself? Listen to this.
How would I defend me? Oh, man. I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I'll probably, you know, try to be as physical as you can get. And that's what Boston, the players have been doing the whole series. And at the end of the day, they got to let me shoot jump shots.
Make you shoot jump shots. No question. The bench was terrific. Hill with 15. Ilyasova with 6. They just got production everywhere. This is definitely a formidable force in the league. They were the best team in the East all season long, one of the best defenses in the league all year long, and they're just getting it done. And the Celtics are in trouble as their head coach, Brad Stevens, backs up against the wall, big guy.
It's win or go home. You do the same thing you've been doing all along. You play the next possession to win it. And that's it. You focus on that. It takes a lot of mental fortitude. It takes a lot of mental toughness, and it reveals a lot. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to that challenge. We don't want to be in this position, but we are. And, you know, we've got to go to Milwaukee and do everything we can to give ourselves another chance to play here on Friday night.
Kyrie Irving has been taking a lot of shots. He said, I don't care about how many shots I take. He took 22 shots to get his 23 points. That's just not good enough. And he came afterwards and said, I'll take 30 shots next time because I'm too good of a shooter and this team needs me. He was asked, trailing 3-1, the comparison of trailing the Bucks 3-1 as the comparison to when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers and he trailed Golden State 3-1.
It's hard to make any comparisons at this stage, you know, of anything. It's really hard because, you know, you just have an appreciation of where you were at that time and the amount of experience that was garnered, you know, throughout the series and throughout the playoffs and each of the runs. And as we, you know, look at our run right now and where we're in, you know, staying present, you know, it's hard to bring back that emotion to it because the difference in level is just the experience.
Level of experience. We'll see. Meanwhile, out west, James Harden had 38 points and 10 rebounds in a 112-108 win over the Golden State Warriors. James Harden talked about a mentality change.
I think our mentality changed, especially after game two. Be more aggressive on both ends of the ball, defensively, making sure that everything that they get wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy, but boy, at the end, the Golden State Warriors trailing by 3, 111-108. Steph Curry Kevin Durant with 34 points had an open look for a 3, missed it. Draymond Green tapped it out. Steph Curry had an open look for 3. He had 30 on the night. He missed it as well. Here is Mike D'Antoni breathing, I'm sure, a sigh of relief, talking about KD and Steph and those final looks at the bucket.
It's not pretty. No, and Steph, too. It's not pretty. Both of them. It's just part of the game. I mean, it's just the way it is. The long rebounds are the most dangerous things because guys are trying to go back and get them, so you lose sight of your men, and they were open. And now they hit a bunch to get where they got, so probably the law of averages got caught up a little bit, but they are very capable of hitting that.
They leave them alone like that at Oracle. Those are going in. Steve Kerr, head coach of the Warriors, talked about, I don't know how you stop James Harden. He said it's a challenge each and every time.
He's tough to handle, obviously. He's a great player and has a lot of ways to score and get to the rim. And so we've just got to stay with it. But, you know, I think we've done this plenty of times, so we know what we have to do.
Know what they have to do. Draymond Green with 15 points and 10 rebounds. As always, the vocal leader of that group. Listen to him challenge his teammates.
they're doing whatever it takes to win. And not that they're, like, doing anything dirty or nothing like that, but they're doing whatever it takes to win. And we're just kind of rolling in, like, oh, yeah, we'll box. And they slamming us. So we got to just change our mindset. And I think if we change our mindset, then we'll be just fine. But we haven't.
Ooh, can't wait. Can't wait for game number five. Meanwhile, I'm watching the playoffs, and I'm watching Giannis play, and I'm watching Kawhi Leonard play, and I'm watching Kevin Durant play, and I'm going, man, AD is, Anthony Davis is slipping further. You know, many considered him a top five player. Then all of a sudden the playoffs come up, and it's like, whoa. So you got LeBron will always be in there. Kevin Durant will always be in there. Now you got Giannis moving up the charts. You got Harden. You got Kawhi Leonard. You got Steph Curry. You got Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. All these guys, Dame Lillard, Joel Embiid, all of these guys can create their own shot, and that's been the biggest weakness for Anthony Davis. Now, make no mistake about it, Anthony Davis is a great player, and everybody in the world will want him. But he's not a guy that can take you off the dribble, spin, get in the lane, and do – no, he's more of a catch and shoot on the perimeter, get his back to the bucket, and go to work down there. But all the other aforementioned people can get their own. And it just goes to show you how good this league is and how great these players are. It is just mesmerizing. It just is. So two games tonight. You've got Philadelphia and Toronto back up in Toronto. And you've got Portland at Denver. So you've got the Greek. I mean, you've got some really, really – Joel Embiid, hopefully he's well. He's playing against Kawhi Leonard. Oh, my gosh. And you've got Lillard, McCullough going up against Jokic. I mean, you talk about premier players at the top of their game. And Jamal Murray, the former Kentucky Wildcat. How good is he? Great players, given everything. This is beautiful, beautiful basketball where players are making their names come playoff time. All right, hour number one is history, brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, man, you just can't shop right at all. We've got hot topics coming up. Kevin Falk talking LSU football and more on the NBA playoffs. Hour number two, straight ahead, the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Come on back, everybody. We'll have some more fun.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
All right, hour number two of two, and away we go. If you missed hour number one, you missed our preview of LSU baseball versus Louisiana Tech with head coach Lane Burrow of the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs en route to the box. First pitch, 6:30, pregame show, 6 o'clock right here on 103.7 The Game. You can go to 103.7thegame.com, the on-demand section, and you can find that interview anytime you want. Yes, indeed. All right, busy, busy night. We got NBA playoffs. We got the LSU coaches caravan in Monroe. We'll get to all of that and more. But first, let's take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, if you don't mind, hit that button.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Good afternoon, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Jordy, especially awesome. Considering the fact that the NBA playoffs have been amazing. Oh, and that's kind of what I want to start off at, Jordy.
All right,
what's been your favorite series to watch out of all the semifinal, the second round matchups? Because the first round was definitely kind of a blasé, but the second round.
Second round's really been good. You know, I'm going to lean to Golden State and Houston because of the intensity, because of the animosity between the two and the great players that are involved. But I'm going to tell you, sleepy second has been Denver and Portland. Man, that is a really, really good series. We talked about all the quadruple overtimes and, yep, and all that. It's been a really terrific series. All of them have been good. Very impressed with Milwaukee and what they're doing to Boston. I just like all of them. But if I had to just pick one, I would have to pick Golden State Houston.
And I'd have to agree. I think Golden State Houston has been the one everybody's been labeling as the de facto NBA championship game. And, you know, we're looking at it like how the playoffs have been at this point. We talk about the first round being very blasé. And it got me thinking, Jordy, this is purely hypothetical. Want to know if you'd be down with this idea of, instead of it being, what is it, 16 teams in the NBA playoffs, correct?
Right.
Let's remove four of those teams. Let's have kind of a play-in game, if you will, for let's say the number one seed would play the Golden State Warriors after a best-of-five series. Hypothetically, of course, let's go that route. Or you want to be in like the MLB and go one-game wild card game, make it game 83,
to where
you could wind up having it be a lot more entertaining. You don't have to drug through all the mess of a, you know, you can start the season later, like I know the NBA probably wants to do, start a little bit later, be able to get through your 82-game stretch, and then have your one game for the West, one game for the East, just to make it a little bit more entertaining in terms of just the overall playoffs, rather than kind of basically skip through the first round.
I understand completely. I understand your premise there. I think what they would end up doing more so than that is forget about Eastern Conference, forget about Western Conference.
Yeah.
Let's just put 16 teams in. Let's seed them 1 through 16. And let's go from there, because I think everybody would rather see Houston Golden State in the finals whoever it may be. So we'll see. But they've been doing this a long time, and we'll have a good finals. I'm telling you, if Golden State survives, and that's an if.
Yeah,
against Milwaukee, that wouldn't be too shabby.
Oh no,
you got the old team, you got the new up and comer, and don't sell out the Bucks yet.
Oh, it'd be one hell of a game to see the finals to potentially see, Jordy. Moving over to the NFL, my goodness. Jason Pierre-Paul, the bad luck for him continues.
Ooh.
He got a pretty bad accident and suffers a neck injury right now, possibly ending his season, if not his career. Jordy, we talked about it a lot with Derrick Rose the other day because of the anniversary of him being named one of the most valuable player.
Right.
But it got me thinking, Jordy, Jason Pierre-Paul, is he the biggest what-if in the NFL history?
He could be, because when he was with the Giants, man, he was some kind of good. And then he had that hand injury,
Before he blew his hand off with fireworks.
That's right. He did that. And now this latest, boy, he was a force in his prime before all this bad situations happened. So, yeah, he might be. He might very well be. Or you could put Jamarcus Russell in there.
Ooh. I think that belongs in the biggest draft bust of all time, Jordy.
Yes,
let's be honest.
Yes.
You know,
he was a never. He never was.
Yeah,
that's
he was
right.
a never
I
was,
know.
Jordy.
Yeah.
But, you know, my good friends over at Athlon Sports, my goodness, they work hard with power ranking all 130 FBS teams. And also did a little breakdown in terms of conference. Start things off with LSU, Jordy. Take a wild guess where they're at on this list.
Out of 130 teams?
No, just in the SEC.
Just in the SEC, I think they will be third.
Fourth, Jordy, right behind Florida, Alabama at number two, and Georgia at number one.
Ooh. I'm telling you, Georgia better enjoy it while they can, because it sounds to me like Dan Mullen is getting the Gators back, and they're going to be very competitive in the East. So, okay, well, at least that's number two in the West. That's not bad.
But you're good with that ranking, right?
I'm okay with that. I think we're better than Florida at this point in time. We'll see. We'll have a chance. We finally get the Gators in Tiger Stadium. Oh, can you imagine the rapidity of the crowd for that one? Holy cow.
Trust me. I think this one's definitely going to be up there along with the Georgia game last year. I think this is the first time LSU has played Florida since the Clinton administration,
Jordan? Forever. Exactly. Forever in a day.
Exactly. God. And it's weird. You know, we talk about like where the LSU's at. It's strange to see Alabama second ranked in anything.
I agree. I don't know what Athlon is basing that upon, other than the fact that Alabama just lost a lot of players. But if you look at these early, way too early mock drafts for next year's, they got like eight Alabama players going in the first round.
Yeah.
8. So they ain't they're still pretty darn good.
Yeah. Athlon's little blurb about Georgia kind of puts it best. It's got everything in the state of Georgia. You got a great recruiting base, great place to live, great fan base. And the only knock is the administration hasn't been as all in as some of the Bulldogs' rivals in the SEC. And when it comes to Alabama, they have them listed where they are largely because of the in-state recruiting pool isn't quite as deep. A big reason why they wound up attacking the state of Louisiana, which I'm going to stick here, jump over to the Sun Belt Conference and their ranking. Cajun's second highest in the Sun Belt coaching jobs. Arkansas State, Jordy.
Arkansas State, okay. That's great for the Raging Cajuns. That's great.
It's great. You know, I'm surprised though that Arkansas State wound up getting above the Cajuns in that one.
Yeah, let's see. Well, Arkansas State only has to go up against Arkansas.
Yeah.
The Raging Cajuns go up against LSU,
La Tech.
La Tech. There's more schools here.
Yeah. There's more high powered schools that can wind up taking.
High powered schools. The per capita is basically the same.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like Hurts, right? Number 2 and still working hard.
Exactly.
Davis, whatever.
I like it, Jordy. And now we got to talk about LSU, La Tech. I know you talked with Lane Burrows earlier, but my goodness, Jordy, this seems like it's a lock for a Johnny Holstaff night. So where are you leaning, Jordy, on the over-under? We're setting it at 7.5 tonight.
Pictures?
For LSU, yes.
7.5 pictures. I'm going to go under. Because remember now, they play again on Thursday.
Yeah.
So they can't. They're just hoping, they're praying that they can get 3 innings out of their starter and then go from there. So
I hope they can get that many out of Costello.
Yeah, that would be dandy. There's a lot of pressure on LSU now. They got to win games, man. They talk about not getting up for midweek games. Well, that's baloney. They better get up. They better be ready, and they better win this thing. They won 12 straight over Tech. That's a lot. That worm will turn eventually,
yeah.
But LSU needs this one badly.
And last one here, Jordy, real quick. Dez Bryant, he was out running routes yesterday. Thought is, does he play for any team in the NFL this season?
I say no. Boy, he looked like he chunked up a lot. Man, he looks huge. No, I say no. I just say no. That's it. We'll see. Good for him if he does, but he's not playing for the Saints. That ain't happening. All right, CD, job well done. That brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce, the best hot sauce on the planet, the BR family for almost 90 years. Seriously, almost 90 years. Finest spices, finest peppers, putting out the best hot sauce ever, ever. You can find it everywhere, but in case, be prepared. Bring a little small bottle of Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef Hot Sauce on it. Man, I love it on my eggs. I really, really do. Coming up, the coaches' caravan of LSU was in Shreveport last night. They're in Monroe tonight. Kevin Falk was there. The Karen Crow Kid joins us next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Holford Show. On 103.7 The Game.
And we welcome you back. If you missed earlier in the program, we were talking about the coaches' caravan, Ed Orgeron and several other members of the LSU football staff hit Shreveport yesterday. They're in Monroe today, and one of those others is the director of player personnel from Karen Crow High School via LSU, and then now in the New England Patriots Hall of Fame, 3-time Super Bowl winning former LSU Tiger Kevin Falk, kind enough to join us. Man, when I say all that lead-in, you got to be a proud guy, man, for all the things you accomplished. I know you had help, but, man, what a resume.
I'm trying to put more on it. That's why. Hey, you know, you just want to get better. You want to be better as a person. You want to be better at what you're doing. So if that calls for getting the accolades for it, why not?
How has the role of director of player personnel gone for you? Why don't you describe a typical day for us?
Well,
me and my partner, I don't call him my assistant because he knows more than me, but me and my partner, we get in about 7:15, and we go right at it. We go to Breakfast Club, which is called Study Hall, and we go check on the guys, make sure the guys are there, make sure they're on time. If a guy is late or not there, we either go pick him up or knock on his door and make sure he gets there. Just, you know, that early morning motivation. Then we go check classes every hour on the hour, make sure we may have a number of guys that coach wants us to, you know, check in on, make sure he's doing what he has to do. And from there, it's whatever coach needs us to do. We need to be helping the recruiting department, doing some certain things like packing or mailing something. We'll do that. But it's kind of like the more you can do, you'll be around here a little longer.
Yeah, that's right. You had to be versatile, right? Kind of like you were as a football player. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, do your job.
Exact same thing.
Yeah, you'll be there a long time. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the name of Sam Nader. Sam is going into the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Hall of Fame today. He's beloved by everyone. When I mention his name, what comes to mind to you?
Longevity, consistency. My first time coming on LSU campus was in the sixth grade coming to football camp. Uh-huh. And the first guy me and my parents met was Coach Nader.
Yeah, yeah. He's terrific. Could you imagine the book he could write if he ever – he's never going to do it, but could you imagine what that book would be like?
I would love to see the information they have in that book.
You and me both, brother. Kevin Falk, kind enough to join us. So what was the caravan like last night in Shreveport? It seems to me, before you answer – it's night and day. Last year, Coach O was answering questions about who the quarterback's going to be, how you're going to get through that brutal schedule you have to face, and, man, you're on the hot seat. What's going on with that? I sense a completely different vibe this year.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. There was a lot of energy, you know, where we was in Shreveport. But the energy is because you kind of got an idea what you have on your team now.
You
your quarterback situation is settled. You know who's going to be where. We just got to put it together now.
Yeah, that's right. You've been in some really good offenses with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Joe Brady comes over after dealing with a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees for a couple of years and a Hall of Fame coach-to-be in Sean Payton. What do you sense? What do you see? What do you like about this new look offense?
Well, Joe Brady is very creative. He understands the athletes that we have on the outside as far as receivers, the athletes we have in the backfield, and you know what our quarterback is. So he's very brilliant in that mind, in that aspect of it. And he's putting together a nice, you know, offense and a nice set, just exploring our strengths really.
Get guys open in space, get it to them, and let them do what their natural abilities allow them to do, I would think.
Exactly. That's exactly what you want those guys. You don't want them to think too much. You want to give them the ball in their hands and, like you said, in open space and make them make plays.
You ever want to get out there and play again, or are you past all that?
I'm good. I'm mentally done with playing football.
A former LSU running back got picked up by the Patriots, Nick Brossette. Have you had a conversation with him? Has he called you and asked you about the, quote, Patriot way?
Oh, of course. Nick is a bright kid. He understands that, you know, knowing stuff ahead of time could help you out. Like, having answers to the test ahead of time could help you out. So, as soon as he found out what was going on, he said, Tommy, just ask me a few questions. And then the next day is when we really actually got on the phone and talked for about 30, 45 minutes. About the experience, what is about the experience.
What was the main message you sent to him?
Do your job. Make sure you understand what's going on. Don't be shy to ask questions, because he wants you to know what you're doing, because he got to have confidence in you to put you in the game.
Kevin Falk, kind enough to join us. Odell Beckham Jr. came out and said he wants to make the Cleveland Browns like the New England Patriots. When you hear that, what's your reaction? Exactly. I laughed.
Not laugh. I understand what he means. I just hope that whole team knows what he's talking about, because that's a team effort. It's going to take more than just one person saying that he wants to bring up that organization to, like, the Pacers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you don't hear much talking coming out of the Patriots. God bless. I love Greedy Williams. He's out there saying we're going to the Super Bowl. You never hear that from the Patriots. They seem to have a lot of talk, and they're certainly an interesting club. There's no question about that. And I love the fact that it's Odell and Jarvis and Greedy on the same team. That's terrific. But talking the talk is one thing. Walking the walk's a whole nother, right?
Well, you know the generation we live in is totally different now, Jordy. It ain't like 10, 15, 20 years ago where, you know, nobody really talked about it. These days, they're going to talk about it. They're going to talk about what they're going to do. Now, if it actually gets done, you know, that's something to see.
You were one of the most highly recruited high school athletes in the country. What this LSU staff has done so far at this time of year, where they've gone to Washington, D.C., to Virginia, to Maryland, to California. It's just kind of remarkable the job that y'all have done to this point in time. I know it's still early and there's more slots to fill, and I would think that the recruiting process becomes even tougher now after you get these commitments because everybody's after them. But what can you put in a nutshell the philosophy that y'all are sending out there, the message you're sending to get these kids from so far away to want to come play here?
It's just the fact about recruiting the best players, getting them in here, getting them and their parents in here, and them understanding that, wow, this is a family atmosphere over here. You know how Louisianans are, man, how we make them feel at home. It's just some of that thing. And our recruiting department, our personnel department, they do a wonderful job at, you know, making you feel at home, answering all the questions that you need to be answered. And just that one team, one heartbeat is very stressed out a whole lot. And you cannot knock the coaches that be on the road recruiting these guys, go and see these guys, go and visit these guys, man. You can't knock that because that's a big factor in it as well.
Kevin Falk, kind enough to join us. The coaches' caravan will be at the walk-ons in Monroe tonight. LSU went 10-3 a year ago, won the Fiesta Bowl, finished number 6 in the country. Do you sense that, because these players come up and talk to you, you're around them all the time, do you see that sense of urgency that is there when that really good teams have? Because I think it's going to be a great year for LSU football. I really, really do. If everybody stays healthy, I think it's going to be a great season. Do you see that work ethic, that hunger that you know is required, is necessary for teams to reach their apex?
I see it developing. I really do see it developing. This spring and throughout the summertime is where really you really have to hunker down and get together as a team.
If not, you can't win a championship now, right? But you can sure lose one.
Definitely you can.
No question about that. How good of a leader is Joe Burrow? What kind of example does he set?
Well, he's a real good leader. He's a guy that leads by example, and he's very vocal. He's a smart guy, smart kid.
Give me a player that you're surprised at his development, that you're going to say, hey, Jordy, you may not know this guy yet, but you'll know him real soon.
Racy McMath.
Racy McMath. Okay. All right. What is the format in Monroe? You just kind of talk on the radio and shake hands with people and mingle? Is that how it works?
Usually a mingling situation until it's time for you to go on air, sit down and talk with a bunch of people in the mm-hmm. back room, and they got some reporters and stuff that you do interviews. But it's a real laid back deal. It's not like it was last year.
You got to be careful now. This is when the LBs come on now. You're eating all that banquet food and getting in late. You got to be careful, K-Falk.
Tell me about it. I just been working on it.
Well, look, I appreciate the time, man. Continued success and have fun in Monroe. And then we'll get to next week and you'll get to do some more. But thanks for the time, my friend. Always fun talking with you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, sir.
Okay, buddy. Take care. Kevin Falk, kind enough to join us as the LSU coaches caravan is in Monroe tonight. And block out the noise, but it's a different kind of noise. Last year, it was all negative. This year, it's all positive, You got to block them out regardless and focus on what you can control. Plain and simple. I don't know what to control in these NBA playoffs. Lots of good games, lots of interesting scenarios. We'll talk about it next here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Hey, we welcome you back. You know the theme song. That means we're talking about the NBA, and we got some good matchups. Three of the four semifinal series are tied at two games apiece, and one, the Milwaukee Bucks just taking care of business over the Boston Celtics, and they lead that best of seven series 3-1. Fellow NBA hoop fan, my buddy, friend of the program, George Becknell, kind enough to join us to talk some NBA hoops. George, long time no, buddy. How you been?
I've been amazing. How about you?
I'm good. Really some good matchups, some good games, but I want to get to the Bucks and the Celtics to start things off with. We're seeing the emergence of Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, worth the price of admission. Right. I mean, he has elevated his play to the stratospheres in this series.
Man, Giannis has been amazing, Jordan. He's been virtually unstoppable. He's also exposed the lack of defense that the Boston Celtics have, which we've grown accustomed to being a good defensive basketball team.
Yeah.
But he's just exposed them all. And you think about guys like Eric Bledsoe penetrating and George Hill penetrating.
Yeah.
And they're able to, you know, get in the paint and kick to guys like Middleton, knocking down open shots, Mirotic, who we miss in New Orleans. So the Milwaukee Bucks have been well coached. They've been operating like a well-oiled machine. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is the most unstoppable force in the paint I've seen since Shaquille O'Neal.
I mean, he's making Julius Irving-type dunks out there. Boston started off 5-0 in the playoffs. Now they've lost three straight, and it just appears to me that everybody in the Shamrock green and white has had their fill of one Kyrie Irving. I think they'll help him pack his bags and get out of Boston. I just get that feeling. Do you?
Absolutely, I do. You know, if you look at it, he has this nonchalant attitude. Yeah, I understand it's like your business and it's your job and this is what you do every night. But I don't see that passion from Kyrie. And those Boston fans are accustomed to winning ways. They're accustomed to good basketball. They're accustomed to guys like Larry Bird, like a Paul Pierce, you know, that'll just lay it all out on the line for the team.
Yeah.
And you don't really get that feeling from Kyrie Irving. Then he's not committed to the team. He said before the season that he was. Then after that, he said he might not be. So they're not really feeling Kyrie right now. I don't really blame him. He's probably going to go somewhere else in free agency.
I think they'll help him pack his bags. He is, to the Boston Celtics, in my opinion, what Boogie Cousins was to the New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans were better without Cousins, and I think the Celtics are better without Kyrie Irving. I know he's a great, gifted, skilled player, but that team's not as good when he's on the court. I really believe that.
Absolutely. Because he's ball dominant, and you're right. That's a great analogy, by the way, the Boogie Cousins comparison. That's perfect because he blocks the development of all these other guys, right? Because think about last year when they were playing so well. You know, you had Rozier playing good basketball. Mm-hmm. You had Jaylen Brown playing good basketball. Mm-hmm. You had Tatum playing good basketball. All these guys on the perimeter, and it was more of a system, and it was better ball movement. Now you look at them. They don't have that same fluidity on offense.
Right.
It just doesn't look good. So, yeah, this might be one of those addition by subtraction type of things. And don't get me wrong, Kyrie is one of the better players in the league. He's a top 10 player in the league, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But this just isn't a fit for him.
I'm with you. George Becknell, we're talking NBA hoops. The Celtics trailing 3-1. I think it's the last game for Kyrie Irving as a Celtic in Boston Garden. we'll see. The other matchup in the East, the Raptors came back and got a win in Philadelphia, 101-96 on Sunday. They tied that best-of-seven series at two games apiece. Game five tonight back in Toronto. Man, is Joel Embiid going to get off the commode and go play? I mean, everything – you could talk about Ben Simmons. You can talk about everybody else out there. But if Embiid doesn't play well, Philly's marginal. Marginal.
Philly is marginal if Embiid doesn't play well. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Joel Embiid is the difference maker. If you look at him, he's the one guy that Toronto is not able to match up with. Maybe Marc Gasol from 10 years ago might have been able to, possibly. Right. But not Marc Gasol of the day. So Joel Embiid is unstoppable when he's playing well. He's blocking himself from having an amazing playoff run. Now, all those other guys, yeah, you can – point to Ben Simmons and say maybe if he would shoot a little bit more, maybe he'd play a better defense, and Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler's and all those guys in the world. But the 76ers start and stop with Joel Embiid because he's that dominant.
That's right. We'll see. We'll see what happens in this one. I like the Raptors at home. I think that one's going seven games. I really, really do. The one series that nobody really is talking about, but it's been terrific, is the Trailblazers of Portland and the Denver Nuggets. That series tied at two games apiece. You got Dame Lillard and C.J. McCollum in the backcourt. You got this guy, Jokic. He looks like a loaf of bread. Doesn't look like a basketball player other than his height. But what a great player. This is a very underrated series that's really, really good.
Oh, man, Jordan. It might be, well, obviously what's going on in between Houston and Golden State is very good, too. But this might be the best series going on if you're really watching it. You know, it's just like you said, it's not enough big name guys. The Denver Nuggets, to me, they look like the new San Antonio Spurs, in my opinion.
You got
Jokic that looks like a newer Tim Duncan, if you will.
That's
He's an amazing
analogy.
Player.
Yep.
He can do everything on the floor. They run the offense through a big man, which reminds me of the 90s, and I love it. You know, their guys are making shots. They're just playing like a well-oiled machine. And if you look at the other team, you know, it's the breaking out party for Dame Lillard and C.J. McCollum. Man, those guys are hitting big shots. They're not scared to take them. They're actually playing really, really well because they got criticized all offseason for Jrue Holiday shutting them down. But now they came this season ready to play. You know, they got a good bench. They got decent bigs. I'm really, really enjoying this series, Jordan.
It really is good. Jamal Murray's really making a name for himself for Denver. He can flat out shoot it. And Al Farouq Aminu is playing well. We remember that name from here, there, and everywhere. He's playing. And they got that wing whose name I can't remember now, who is just really, really good for Portland. So that's a really, really good matchup. But we got to talk about the marquee scenario, and that's the Rockets and the Warriors. The Rockets win last night 112-108 in Houston. That series tied two games apiece. Man, what do you think of that series? What do you think of it?
And Jordan, it's the craziest series, right? You know, it's an amazing series, but I just get the feeling that Houston's just giving it all that they've got, and Golden State is just not firing on all cylinders.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Eric Gordon's played great minutes. He's played well. James Harden is being James Harden. Chris Paul has made some big buckets. Clint Capella, the block that Clint Capella had in game three might have been one of the best defensive plays I've ever seen in my life. So it's been an entertaining series. But if you think about it, Steph Curry is shooting 25% from the three-point line in this series. Eventually, he's going to start making shots. He missed like four layups in game three.
I know.
And, so, I don't know, Kevin Durant's been awesome, you know, but the rest of Golden State doesn't look like they've been really, really good at all. Now, the one advantage Houston does have a slightly deeper rotation, even though not much deeper. But Golden State has got nothing from the bench, Jordan. They've got nothing at all from the bench.
And they've got nothing from Klay Thompson either. Klay Thompson's got to start making some shots. But this is the one, I think, the one and only series where I think the Warriors are missing Boogie Cousins. And his presence down low changes a lot of what Houston does.
I totally agree, because just Boogie being on the floor pulls Clint Capella out of the lane completely. You know, that way he can't sit up there and block shots, because Boogie's just as big of a threat to shoot the ball as he is to make some buckets on the inside. And that extra man in the rotation would help. Then you'd have somebody like Iguodala coming off the bench, and Iguodala can get you 10, 15 points off the bench. But now that you have that in the starting lineup, you can't – there's nothing on the bench for you. There's no points for you to go get. So it's going to be a tiring series.
You're right. I'm in agreement with you. Steph Curry's going to start getting warm, and I believe Klay Thompson's going to start getting warm as well. We'll see. Draymond Green's come out and said we got to get a little bit meaner. We got to get a little bit tougher, a little bit angrier. Houston's taking the fight to us, and we're just kind of saying, oh, okay, all right, well, we'll get into a little sparring match with it. We got to come with some haymakers. So it's a very contentious series. There is no love loss between the two. I love watching it. But here's my question. You got four playoff matchups. You got James Harden. You got Kevin Durant. Unbelievable talent. Giannis Antetokounmpo, unbelievable talent. We didn't mention the other guy in Kawhi Leonard for Toronto. Who so far is the MVP of the playoffs out of those four? You could state a case for each and every one of them.
You can, but I would have to go with Kevin Durant. Only for the simple fact that the Warriors have not been playing Warrior type of basketball. But they are in as just as good of a position as anybody else, because Kevin Durant's been amazing. So I like Kevin Durant in this one. I think this is the first year I've seen, because you and I have been talking about this ever since Kevin Durant went to Golden State. We thought it was a weak move, which it was. But this is the first time I've seen the Warriors actually lean on Kevin Durant. He's been like a compliment all the years before.
It is his team.
Right now, they need him. Yes.
Yeah, it is his team. And I'm telling you, Steph Curry, the two-time MVP of the league, is playing a role like Eric Gordon is for Houston.
Yes. That's what I was thinking earlier. It looks like a two-on-two match between KD and Steph and James Harden and Eric Gordon, because those are the guys that hit most of the shots, making most of the points. If you told me that Eric Gordon would have, I don't know, 50-something points, almost 60 points in two games?
Crazy.
I would tell you that you lied.
Absolutely crazy. You're right. I mean, if there's 5 seconds left in the game and Steve Kerr calls timeout, he's not calling a play for Steph Curry. He's calling a play for Kevin Durant. And I never thought I'd see that.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, but that's where we are right now. And he had a good look to tie the game last night. He missed it. Steph had a good look, and he missed it too.
Yep.
When is that going to ever happen again?
No, they had great looks.
Two of the best shooters that I've ever seen, great looks to tie the game, and they both missed.
Yeah, that's just sometimes that's what happens. I don't think we give enough love though to Kawhi Leonard. My goodness gracious, you take him off the Raptors, they're pitiful. But he's single-handedly carrying them.
Yeah, he is. I mean, you know, you look at Ben Simmons, who's a long guy. He can't guard him. Tobias Harris can't guard him. Jimmy Butler can't guard him. Nobody on the Philadelphia team can guard this man. He's unstoppable. It'll be interesting to see if they could beat Philadelphia. I'd like to see Kawhi play against the Warriors again, because he had him on the ropes in San Antonio the last time they went deep. But I don't know. We'll see. But I'm interested to see if that happens.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen to the Pelicans this offseason, because Kyrie's leaving. All right, I wonder if AD thinks that Boston's a good destination point now. I mean, he has no say in the matter, but what is Boston going to give up? Because if they get Anthony Davis, it's probably going to be for 1 year and 1 year only, and then he's going to skedaddle. So, man, who's got the leverage in this thing now? I don't think the Pels have that much anymore.
I think the Pelicans are going to force to do a deal with the Lakers. That's what's going to happen, because the Celtics have assets if Kyrie's on that ball club. If Kyrie is not on the ball club, then they can't afford to lose some of their pieces to go ahead and acquire AD.
I know.
And they can't bet the house on him because there's no guarantee he'll resign.
That's right.
You just can't do it. So you're talking about the Lakers, possibly the Clippers, maybe. But the Lakers are going to kind of be the guys looking great at all this, you know.
I don't like those players, man. I just don't like them. I wonder if David Griffin can somehow figure out a way to convince AD to come back. There's no way, is there?
There's no way. They would have to go out, and they would have to make a big splash in free agency for AD to want to stay. Like, they would have to almost get a guy like Kyrie to come to New Orleans, which I don't see happening. It would take something that big for AD to even think about it. Not for him to commit, for him to think about it.
Yeah. Nobody wants to play with LeBron, and Kyrie Irving just, do you think Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, if they both went to New York and played for the Knicks, would that combination work in your mind?
No, because we saw it already. Because the way Kyrie plays, he's ball dominant like Westbrook was.
Yeah.
So he might play a little bit more under control, and he's less athletic than Westbrook, but they have the same style of play. It's not going to work. Kevin Durant has to go somewhere where he's going to be the man, where they can run the offense, but at the same time, they're going to get him the ball in isolation, and he can just score the basketball at will. I don't think that works for him. Now, maybe if he teams up with a guy like Kemba Walker, that's a guy we don't talk about a whole lot. Mm-hmm, but he's a baller, and he might take – and he'll probably take a back seat to somebody like Kevin Durant, whereas Kyrie Irving won't.
That was fun, George. You know your hoops, baby. I knew you did, but thank you. That was enjoyable.
It's a pleasure, Jordan. You know I always have fun talking hoops with you, brother.
There you go, brother. Take care, man. We'll talk soon. Appreciate it. George Becknell talking NBA hoops. We'll be back to wrap things up on this edition of the Jordy Helpert Show, Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.